confession over the word for those of you who are just joining in with us on today for the first time. This is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Victorious Christian living. That's what we do here in Word of Knowledge Ministries. Amen? Amen. So this is the third installment of the series, Matters of the Heart. The third installment of the series, Matters of the Heart. So in week one, Minister Denise Jones came before you and shared a message from the subtitle, Guard Your Heart, right? Guard your heart. And she shared that in Proverbs 4 and 23, the New Living Translation, she said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Amen? NLT version. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. She shared that there were many other jewels within the context of the word that was presented on that day. But what ministered to my spirit was the definition of guard. And she said it's to be alert, attentive, ready to protect and defend, right? She said the perimeter because she used it in a military context, right? She said that we were to guard, right, the perimeter, right? But spiritual context is the heart, right? We are to guard the heart. Amen? Are y'all still with me? Do y'all remember that? Amen. 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 And so she went on to say that from the military perspective, there were things in which we had to do, right? We had to trust God. We had to read the word. We had to pray. And she said so many other things. If you missed it, go on the YouTube and you can get the rest of that message. But I wanted to share that little tidbit with you. And I want you to keep it in mind as we progress on this morning. Amen? Amen? Amen. And then last week, our very own First Lady, Pastor Janice, ministered, God so loved. Right? God so loved. And she shared with us in Mark 12, 30 and 31, and it reads, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Do y'all remember that? Amen. And she gave a demonstration where she brought up some volunteers and where she said, I love you. I love you. I love you. Y'all remember that? Where she would kind of went around and what she was representing was the love, right, for our neighbors. We can't just pick and choose, right, who we're going to love, right? Right? Because what happens is if we pick and choose who we're going to love, that issue, right, that comes about may be unforgiveness, bitterness, right, hatred. Right? That thing that may manifest itself, and that should not be among the body of believers. Amen? So she went on to share with us, amen, that God so loved the world. She gave us John 3:16. Very familiar scripture. Amen? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? That we should be loving in a sacrificial way. Amen? Are y'all with me? You sure? You positive? All right. Amen. So just a quick review. Now, if you've spent any time within Word of Knowledge Ministries, I believe Minister Jones Mel, he said it this morning, our focus for 2022 is elevating our spiritual growth by the Word of God or through the Word of God. And then the latter part is by way of the Holy Spirit. Right? Y'all remember that. Right, y'all? This is a setup because every message that we've received, really from the time that you come here up until this point, is in line with elevating our spiritual growth. We can't grow if we have no love, right? We can't grow if we don't have the God kind of love. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. And we're stunted in our growth if our heart is not guarded. Are y'all with me? Amen. If I had to share with you a title for today's message, because I know y'all waiting for it. Amen. The title is The Undivided Heart. The Undivided Heart. So that's my subtopic. And so if you listen to the praise and the worship and allowed it to minister to you, and then you ministered unto the Lord, you would hear the singleness of heart within the praise and worship. That it wasn't focused on the praise and worship team or on the musicians, right? It was focused on God. Y'all got that? Singleness of heart. A sister said this morning that when we're all on time and we're all on one accord, amen? Amen. This place breaks forth, right, in praise, right? All on one accord. This is that singleness of heart. Amen? Amen. So the undivided heart is what we're talking about today. Minister Jones Mel, he shared an awesome word a few Wednesdays back, and it was called, God is speaking. Do you hear or are you listening? And he read a scripture that just like pierced my heart. And I said, man, I've been reading this and I've been seeing this scripture over and over, but it pierced my heart. And I want to share that scripture with you today. Go with me to Psalm 86 and 11. Minister Jones, you ain't know what you was doing at the time. Amen. But you stirred my spirit, man. Amen. You stirred me. Amen. In Psalm 86 and 11, I'm going to read it from the King James. I'm going to read it from the NIV. And then I'm going to read it from the Message. Because I really want us to get this on today. Amen? Amen. So King James says it this way, Psalm 86 and 11. Teach me the way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. NIV says it this way. Teach me your word, your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. The Message translation says it this way. Train me, God, to walk straight. Then I'll follow your true path. Put me together, one heart and mind. Then undivided, I'll worship in joyful fear. Let me say that Message translation one more time. Train me, God, to walk straight. Then I'll follow your true path. Put me together, one heart and mind. Then undivided, I will worship in joyful fear. Amen. Joyful fear. Come on now, y'all. Come on now, y'all. So this is about learning his way. learning his statutes, right? And this is what we're doing when we come together. We learn his way, right? But the latter part of that says walk. Not just the physical walking, right? But to live, right? Right? We should live in his word. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I think there is another epidemic that is going on. Pandemic, epidemic that is going on, and it's happening within the church. Right? And so what I'm talking about is, y'all don't get mad at me if I kick my shoes off, but what I'm talking about is that there are Christians, right? There are believers that have divided hearts. That means the affection, our affection. I'm talking about me too. Our affections are not single in mind, not single in heart, not single in devotion, right? When the Lord downloaded this to me, I said, Lord, I don't want them to feel as if they're in condemnation. But truth of the matter is, right? Truth is, we have a divided heart sometimes, right? Our affection and our devotion, right, are not towards God, right? So let's define divided, right? So divided is a weak heart that lacks devotion and commitment unto the Lord. A weak heart that lacks commitment and devotion to God. Now, y'all know this pricked my heart, because there are things that I do not get right. But I can give it to the Lord, and he can help me, right? And he can deliver me from whatever that thing is. Just because I'm standing here don't mean that I got it all together. Y'all understand that? Y'all know that. Some of y'all see my stuff, right? Truth be told, right? I'm talking about my husband. My husband see my stuff, right? My kids see my stuff, right? 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 So this divided heart sometimes that we have, I'm just being honest, y'all. This divided heart that we have, we must know that it can be strengthened, right? We must know that our affections can be toward the Lord, right? We must know our devotion can be towards the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm blessed with an awesome job. Amen. And so I talk to people day in and day out. And what I found, what I learned, is that the reason why many are in so much turmoil is because their heart is divided. Their heart is divided. Now, granted, they may have sustained some sort of trauma or had some significant emotional event, but in all actuality, one point of stability, the event occurs, and now their heart is this way, and now their heart is this way, right? So in our life, we can become divided, right? So it's so easy. Y'all, before I came to Christ, I used to tear the club up. Tear the club up, I'm just saying. And my thing was dancing. I didn't need no drink. I didn't need no smoking. I didn't need none of that. But if I could cut a rug and drop it like it was hot, I'm just saying. Right? So music, right? Music was a thing that kept my heart divided. Do y'all understand that? Music, and so that, you know, that bass drop, that doom, 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 right? That beat would drop, right? And here I am, right? Now I'm saved. I love the Lord, right? And I'm dropping it like it's hot. I'm laughing about it, and I'm giggling about it. But that heart, my kids know the truth. My husband knows the truth. God knows the truth. right? So music was my thing. And so what I had to do, right, is I had to shift the music that I was listening to, right, to worship, to praise, right, music, right? Y'all are looking at me and y'all are like, oh, no, every time she danced, now I'm going to think of her as dancing in the world. No, 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 no. Amen. I am delivered. Amen. And I, you know, my life, amen, amen. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying, right? So my partner now is the Lord. Amen. I worship and I dance as if nobody's watching, but I know that he is watching. Amen. And he's just ministering unto me. But yeah, but God is faithful. He can deliver. He delivers. Amen. Tyrone sang the song. He said, atmosphere shift now. Chains be broken, break out. Holy Spirit, come now. Heavens open, heavens open. Come on now, y'all. So the Lord can deliver. Amen? Amen. The chains can be broken. We don't have to have this divided heart. Are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. Go to 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 17. Amen. Pause for station identification. Amen. So this story may be familiar to a lot of us, but I want to point some things out on this day. So we're going to be talking a little bit about David, right? And so we know David as king, right? We know David as the one that slew Goliath, right? We knew and we know David as one of Jesse's boys. Right? Right? We know David as a sheep, shepherd, herder. Right? And y'all know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. King. Amen. Warrior. And we know that he loved the Lord. Amen? Are y'all there? 2 Samuel chapter 11? Amen. And so this is David and Bathsheba's. And the word of God reads, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. So let's put a pin right there. I'm going to stop right there, right? So let me just teach just a little bit. So fact of the matter is, that was the time of year, right, that David was supposed to be where? In battle, at war, right? But where was he? Right? So we see elements of a divided heart in this, right? So I want y'all to stay with me. So we see David, he was idle, right? So a divided heart moves in idleness, right? Rather than purpose, right? Are y'all with me? A divided heart moves in idleness rather than purpose. Verse 2 goes on to say, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. All right, boom. Stop right there. Teaching point, right? So the brother wasn't supposed to be on the roof, right? The brother was supposed to be in war, right? So he on the roof, He sees Bathsheba. She's doing her thing up there. He has a wandering eye, right? A divided heart is a wanderer, right? A divided heart is one that is just all over the place, not stationary, right? Not whole. Are y'all with me? All right. Verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. Stop. Teaching point. Right? That's not his wife. He took her. A divided heart covets that which is not his or hers. A divided heart covets. And David sent messengers and took her. Verse 4. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Verse 6. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Stop. Teaching point. A divided heart is deceitful. A divided heart is deceitful. So David knew Bathsheba was pregnant. So he had to do something, right? So he began to devise this plan. A divided heart is deceitful. Are y'all still with me? 7 goes on to say, and when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. So David in there playing around, acting like he concerned about what's going on with the war, when in all actuality, he just want Uriah back home so he can continue to devise his plan. Are y'all with me? Deceitful. A divided heart is deceitful. 8 says, and David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house. And there followed him a mess of meat from the king. So he threw him a party. Right? Mess of meat. Y'all had a mess of meat before? Right? So he threw him a mess of meat. Right? And if you go on to read, and we'll drop down to 13. Amen. Verse 13 says, and when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. So what's happening here is David is trying to get Uriah, right, to go home and be with his wife, right? So that way he can cover up the pregnancy, right? Y'all know that. It's a very familiar story, right? But Uriah is faithful. Uriah is loyal, and he's like, how can I go home and be comforted, right, when my boys are in war, right? How can I be comforted, right, when my boys are in war? So I'm just going to lay here on this bed, right, with the servants, right? Yeah, I ate the mess of meat, and yeah, I drank, but I'm not going home. I'm not finna wash my feet. I'm not finna go home. So David didn't count on Uriah being faithful and loyal. David didn't count on that. So he had to do something else, y'all. What else did he have to do? Amen. Go to verse 14. Verse 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. 16, and it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And 17 says, and the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So we see here, I looked at this and I said, nobody ever talk about Joab, right? We always focus on David and what David did, and his stuff was deceitful for sure. But Joab carried out orders, right? So what was in Joab's heart? Right? What was in Joab's heart at the time? Deceit, right? Maybe he was being faithful to his king and honoring, right? He was probably a high commander, right? And so he had to follow the order, right? But it was immoral. It was unethical, right? So as it stands, we see in verse 17, Uriah the Hittite died also, right? So if you go down and you read a little bit more, and you can read that on your own, I'll just summarize it briefly. The letter, y'all, the letter that Uriah was carrying was the death sentence. Now, how dirty, how deceitful, how divided can a heart be for you the letter that Joab carried, that he gave to Uriah, how dirty is that? The scriptures tell us that the heart is like deceitful and desperately wicked and a divided heart, y'all. But I want y'all to know that there is hope. That even though David experienced this divided heart, and even Joab experienced this divided heart, there is redemption. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I want y'all to know, go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, just probably flip the page and you're there. I want y'all to know that with a divided heart, the Lord, and I shared this with you already, the Lord can bring it back together. Right? The Lord can create in you a clean heart, right? And renew a right spirit. And we're going to get to that in Psalm 51, right? When I was studying this, I did a little digging and a little research, and I always like to make comparisons from the natural and the spiritual, so that way we can kind of get a better understanding. And in the research that I did, I looked up cardiovascular disease, right? And how many deaths occur per year, right? Based on a specific race, right? There's a lot. There's like billions, right, of deaths that occur. The one thing that I found when I did the research was that there's a small word, and it said preventable. It said that most of this heart disease that was experienced and the deaths that were as a result from this heart disease, right, was preventable. Y'all, a divided heart is preventable. A divided heart is preventable. Why? How? Read the word, pray, fellowship, right? Receive Holy Spirit, operate in Holy Spirit. There's so many things we can do, right, to prevent the divided heart. Y'all, there's billions dying, and I think they even broke it down to every 36 seconds, someone is dying. That might be an exaggeration, y'all, but work with me. But some seconds, right? So heart disease, a divided heart, is preventable. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I have before you a stethoscope. All right, now y'all, I'm not a medical professional, so those that are in the place that are medical professionals and streaming, all right, don't beat me up. All right. All right. So with this stethoscope, right, in the natural, right, our doctors, our medical professionals utilize these earpieces, right, and they utilize this piece and they place it on your heart, right? And they listen to what? Your heart. And what are they listening for? The rhythm. And what happens if there's an irregularity? Right? Maybe an emergency, right? Maybe they might prescribe some kind of medication, or maybe they might tell you you need to lose weight, eat right, get some exercise in, right? Right? So with this stethoscope in the natural, it can prevent, right, heart disease, right? Because they can find those irregularities early. If they find those early, it's preventable, right? In the spirit, the Lord, y'all, come on now. So man looks at the outside, right? The Lord looks at the heart, right? And so he can gauge, he sees the temperature, if we hot, we cold, we lukewarm. He can see if there's irregularities. He can see if there's maybe the lack of devotion, the lack of commitment, the lack of love, right? He sees that, the lack of obeying his law and walking in his ways. He sees that. He knows that. I want y'all to do something for me. I want y'all to take these three fingers, your index finger, your middle finger, and that other finger. I'm not a medical professional. Don't fuss me out. All right. All right. Take these three fingers. I want you to find your pulse. Right? So typically we would do it, right? Palm out, three fingers on your wrist, just south of your thumb, if y'all are with me, right? Or if you can't feel it on your wrist, right, you would take these three fingers or two fingers and put it on the opposite sides. You can correct me, Jasmine, get me right. You can put it on the opposite sides of your windpipe, and you should be able to feel your pulse. Raise your hand if you didn't feel your pulse. Don't look back. Don't look around. Don't look back. Don't look around. All right. So if you can feel your pulse, that means you are alive. Right? That means that there is blood pumping. That means there is blood flowing, right, within your heart and through your body. Is that right? Right? So this is a good thing. Right? Some of y'all still searching. I see you. But the whole point, right, is we should always be doing a check on our heart. Right? Amen. We should always conduct a check of the heart. Maybe you said something wrong. Maybe your face said something wrong. Right? Maybe an attitude, a word was presented in a wrong way, right? So we should always be looking at the condition of our heart. Are y'all ready? We moving on. Amen. I still got plenty of time. All right, y'all fingers still in 2 Samuel chapter 12? All right. And so we have here a parable. Amen. And so I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. And it reads, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die." Exactly. Uh-oh. He don't even recognize, right? When you have a divided heart, sometimes you don't even recognize the division, right, that it casts. 6, "And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Verse 7, "And Nathan said to David, You the man." Right? David, Nathan said to David, "You the man." Not you the man as in, right? But you the man. You the one that committed this thing. You the one that sinned. So let me tell you this. A divided heart, y'all, is always exposed. Right? Is always exposed. Even if the individual with the divided heart doesn't know, right, that they may be operating in division, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. So Nathan exposes David's sin, right? Verse 7 says again, "And Nathan said to David, You the man." That's Message translation, y'all. "Thou art the man." King James says, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." Y'all, a divided heart experiences consequences. A divided heart experiences consequences. Verse 9 goes on to say, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." Verse 10, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me." That sword, come on now, y'all. If y'all read, y'all see the division and his sons and the things that go on within his family. "The sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." 11 says, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son." That means you're going to see it. That means it's going to be ever present before you. You're going to see what's going to happen. And if y'all read on, Y'all see what happens to David and the sons and the wives and how things were taken, right? But it's a consequence. It's not God doing that, but it's a consequence. It's a result of that divided heart. Are y'all with me? Amen. 12 says, "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." Your dirt is exposed, right? Your division, right, of heart is going to come to light, right? So how about now it's time to repent, right? Now it's time to repent. Verse 13 says, "And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And so if we just go on to read, David's child dies, right? He mourns. He picks himself up, right? After he mourns, and he's like, "All right, Lord, I'm ready to worship you. All right, Lord, I know my heart, it was jacked up. I know that what I did, you know what I mean, was not right. I understand my sin against you, right? I understand my sin against you." And so he begins to repent. I want y'all to turn to Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. So go to 32 first, and then we'll jump over to 51. And so what was happening, one thing I didn't say was, if you kind of see this out, a lot of the scholars indicate that in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2 Samuel chapter 12, there was about 1 year or so that transpired. So within that year, David was left to deal, right, with his sin. So he hadn't repented, right? He hadn't confessed at that particular time, right, the sin. And so can you imagine, right, the torment that he was going through, right? Psalm 32, roundabout 32 and 1, Psalm 32 and 1. So it goes on to say, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones a divided heart is unrepentant at times, right? At times. Because we can change, amen? The Lord can deliver us, amen? But in this particular situation, his bones had waxed old through the roaring of all the day long. Verse 4 says, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into a drought of summer." So he was saying that everything within that's supposed to, right, work and move and operate in the most effective and efficient way as God created, it wasn't happening, right? He dried up. The inside, his insides dried up. A divided heart is dry. Jesus. Verse 5 says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him." And so you can go on to read the rest of 32, but the gist of it is, he's confessed, right? He's repented, right? Psalm 51. So this is why David is saying, "Create in me a clean heart, Lord, renewer, right spirit, because he had an undivided heart, right? So if we go ahead and jump to, in the interest of time, I want y'all to read Psalm 51 on your own time. But in the interest of time, let's go to Psalm 51, 6 through 10. Psalm 51, 6 through 10. Are we there? Amen. And it reads, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." I'm going to read that again. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part," which is the heart, "thou shalt make me to know wisdom," or the spirit. Amen. 7 says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." Make me to hear joy and gladness. A divided heart lacks joy and gladness. "That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Verse 9, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." How many of y'all want clean hearts? Amen. Amen. I want a clean heart. Amen. So you may be sitting there asking yourself today, so how do I keep and move, right, in an undivided heart? I don't want to have a divided heart. How do I move in this? Right? I'm simply going to say this. Well, a few things. Amen. Matthew 5 and 8. Matthew 5 and 8. I don't want y'all to think I'm beating you up. Amen. Amen. I said, Lord, help me, because I don't, sometimes it sounds like I fuss. And I don't want to fuss at them. I just want to give you what you gave me, how you gave it to me. Amen. Matthew 5 and 8. Amen. Very familiar set of scriptures. The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. 5 and 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen. Amen. So how do we have a pure heart? Right? So our motives, right? Our commitment, our devotion, our thoughts, amen, should be upward. Right? Towards the Lord. That's how the heart is pure. Minister Denise Jones shared with us that we are to guard our heart, right? For out of it flows the issues of life, or set the direction of our life, right? So with that, if our intents of the heart, right, are pure, that means we're thinking on those things that are, you know, lovely and pure and of good report. And we're thinking on those things, right? Right? That mind-heart connection is going to happen, right? Are y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. The next thing is go to Psalm 119 and 30. Psalm 119 and 30. Longest song. Amen. I believe Pastor Janice shared with us a little bit from this psalm last week as well. Psalm 119 and 30. Are we there? Amen. Amen. And it says, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." So we got to choose the way of truth. So first we have a pure heart, right? And in our pureness of heart, we are choosing the way of truth. We know that in John 14 and 6 it says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so we got to remember that. So pureness in heart. We choose the truth. Amen? Pureness of heart, and we choose the truth. Go to Matthew 22 and 37. Another familiar scripture, just read from a different gospel. Amen. Pastor Janice shared with us Mark 12, 30 and 31. I'm going to share with you Matthew 22 and 37. Are we there? Amen. And it simply reads, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. 38. This is the first and the greatest commandment. 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 40. And these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you see, pure heart, walk in truth, love the Lord your God. Now I'll tell you, loving the Lord our God with all of our mind, our strength, our soul, all of that, that's a daily thing, right? A daily thing. So in order for us not to have this divided heart that I mentioned a little earlier, right? This love has to show itself, right? It has to show forth itself. We have to make the choice to operate and to move into the love. Amen? To walk into the love. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. Go back to Psalm 86 and 11. Psalm 86 and 11. Amen. This is where we started. Amen. And so I read again to you and impart into your spirit on this evening, Psalm 86 this morning, afternoon. Amen. Psalm 86, 11, the Message translation. And it says, Train me, God, to walk straight, that I'll follow your true path. Put me together, one heart and mind, then undivided, I'll worship in joyful fear. Right? And so that part that says joyful fear, it's not from the perspective of being scared of God, right? Fear in the sense of reverence, right, unto the Lord. So we learn his way. Right? We walk in the truth and we worship, right? We reverence him. We honor him with our life, y'all. Amen. Are y'all with me? Amen. I leave you with this. Do you have a divided heart? If you do, no condemnation. But this is the time to get it right. Amen? The word of God tells us that we can cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. Amen? The word of God tells us that we don't have to carry the burdens, right? We don't have to be divided, right? So having an undivided heart, right? It's a choice, right? It's a choice, y'all. Are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Amen.